From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about environmental issues and sustainable living. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
So as many of our listeners probably know, Vail Resorts acquired Canyons this summer, and Vail has an active sustainability program, as does Canyons. So joining us this morning to discuss the convergence of these will be Dana Edwards, Environmental Manager, and Steve Pastorino, Director of Public Relations.
And in the second half
And there's
half of
more.
We hope. After that, in the second half of the show, we'll talk about a host of topics, including a follow-up on invasive species. The interview we had last week with Dan Simberloff about his book, Invasive Species. Well, there was one in the news this past week that I found interesting. And then also some suggestions on controlling invasives by actually eating them. We'll give you some tips on that.
That's right. We have some ideas.
And then the second item is about the EPA announcing limits on the application of neonicotinoids. They are pesticides that, among other things, kill bees and other pollinators. We'll explain the new regs and the exceptions to them.
The many exceptions.
There's always an exception. The third item will be the city of Durango approves a 10-cent fee on disposable bags, plastic or paper, and we'll explain how that works and if it can work here.
Along those same lines, we'll talk then about composting. That's been a hot topic in town lately, and we're going to look at what's happening in other cities in the U.S., across the country, and also in Europe.
Perfect. And if we have some time after all that, I lost my power yesterday for 6 hours. Does that mean I was carbon free?
What does that mean for your carbon footprint?
Exactly. We'll explain what carbon free, carbon neutral, carbon negative,
zero carbon,
all of the above. It's This Green Earth. And of course, you can join us on today's conversation and discussion by posting your questions or comments to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth.
The environment and our relationship with it. That's This Green Earth, and it all gets started right after a few words from our underwriters.
Stay tuned.
Call in to support the DJs, call in to contribute to the bottom line, doing the perch strike dance.
Keep on dancing and partner up with a gift certificate from Blue Sky Adventures, National Ability Center, Victory Ranch Club, or Foothill Oriental Rugs.
Hi, this is Gordon Raymond with Republic Services, your recycling and garbage services provider, and a proud supporter of KPCW. Recycling pickup in Summit County is now every other week. Remember, recycling materials go in your larger blue or brown bin. Gray is for garbage. AlliedWasteUtah.com/Summit County.
This is the TED Radio Hour. Each week, groundbreaking TED Talks.
TED Talks.
TED.
Technology.
Entertainment.
Design.
Design. Is that really what it stands for?
TED Radio Hour, Sunday morning at 10. Brought to you by Albion Financial Group and Board Docs.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak across the board. And in the studio with us this morning is Steve Pastorino, the Director of Public Relations at Canyons, and Dana Edwards, the Environmental Manager there. And they're here to talk with us all things sustainability at the Canyons. And we know that the CEO of Vail was here in town yesterday meeting with you guys. And so let's start by talking about that meeting.
Sure. The our visit here is quite timely. Rob Katz, the CEO of Vail Resorts, was in town yesterday addressing all of us as employees for the first time since the acquisition, which was announced at the end of May. And for those of us who have put in blood, sweat, and tears for Canyons over the years, it's always good to hear from sort of the new directive. And Rob reiterated Vail Resorts' commitment to the environment, to the community. He talked about how we're, you know, our jobs, our livelihoods at Canyons are putting people into our beautiful natural surroundings. And clearly, it is incumbent upon us to protect our environment and to value our environment. And it's a fundamental core value of the Vail Resorts company. So it was great to hear that message. It reaffirms a lot of the things that Dana has done over the years at Canyons. And I'm just going to say she's been here 16 years, I think. And but to get that sort of support from the very top of the company is very important. And while there are 1,000 ways that a big corporation like Vail can say that they support the environment, I think we're here to talk to you today about some of the things that we will be unveiling in the months and years to come, which are primarily local and on the ground and right here and visible on our footprint here in Summit County, here in the community of Park City, and in our surrounding area.
So, you know, you have, as you mentioned, you have a lot of different programs going on. But let's start with one that's coming right up in, you know, I guess about a month. Tell us about the Vail Echo initiative.
Great. Thanks. So Vail has an annual volunteer day for employees and their families and neighbors. And they've been doing this, I think, for a few years. And this will be our inaugural time of being able to participate. And we were lucky enough to invade the nonprofits in town, most notably the East Canyon Watershed Committee and Swanner Eco Center, to do some stream work on the East Canyon. So we are signing up our volunteers at the resort, the employees, and we're just really excited to be able to participate. So we're hoping to get probably 100 volunteers just to get out there, hit the trailhead, have some fun, get dirty, get in the water, and help the nonprofits. And we'll be doing this on an annual basis. It's a company-wide initiative, and really volunteering is one of the biggest initiatives that Vail has for their environmental program. So we're really excited about it.
That's excellent to hear.
So that's a volunteer day. That's one day. I want to know what you guys are doing there every day with respect to sustainability. I mean, sustainability involves energy use, water use, fuel use, raw materials that come in the resort, the waste streams that go out of the resort. Let's talk about what you guys are doing to reduce your carbon impacts or otherwise on an everyday basis. So let's start with energy use.
Okay.
Electricity.
Our energy use, we've had a great opportunity to work with the National Skiers Association, their climate challenge, which many resorts across the country use as kind of a way to measure their carbon footprints. And we're measuring our power, waste streams, et cetera, but particularly for energy use, we have a challenge to reduce our power by about 3% a year, which is not a whole, doesn't sound like a lot, but for a large resort, it's a good way for us to measure how we can reduce it. And so we look at our snowmaking. How can we make snow the most efficient way as possible by using less power, changing light bulbs, everything from the bulbs, the snowmaking, to
general lighting around the facility.
General lighting.
Because I can go into resorts. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's your place, but I'll go into hotels. And in the middle of the day, every light is on in the atrium, in the lobby, in the hallways. And then, of course, you walk in your room and the lights are on. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there efforts there to reduce that?
That's a good point. And really, a lot of it is education, educating our guests and our employees. They don't need to keep the light on all day long. If you're in a room like this and you can't see where we're talking, but it's very well lit and there are no lights on. So if you have a conference room that has glass windows, then you can shut the lights off and make it so it's a more energy efficient way to meet.
We have 1,700 hotel rooms in our village. We have nine different operators. We only own and operate three of the hotels now. So it's incumbent upon each of those hotel managers to work with their housekeeping staffs, with their property staffs. But then, you know, every 2 or 3 days, the guests turn over. And so we have messaging in the rooms now about lighting, messaging in the rooms about recycling and waste. And it has become a resort-wide initiative that I would say has been in place for at least 2 to 3 years now. Like I said, it's a communication message that we have to do across a wide spectrum.
Right. Not just the guests, but more importantly, like you say, the managers and the staff. Mm-hmm, to recognize, and the different departments, the maintenance department or so, recognize to see the value, not just the environmental value, but the cost savings that goes into that 3% goal. Because that's 3%, you know, less money you're mm-hmm. sending to Rocky Mountain Power, whomever, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to burning less coal. And Absolutely. That comes right off the bottom line.
Right.
So there's economic value yeah. as well as environmental.
And while we are participating in the Blue Sky program and we have received grants from Rocky Mountain Power, Vail Resorts is very ambitious in terms of looking at energy consumption. The first most effective thing we can do is change our behavior. Every employee, and you know, there's more than 2,000 of us here in Summit County, and then every guest that visits us, you know, which numbers in the hundreds of thousands.
Sure.
I was just going to ask, how many guests on average do you see a winter at the resort and at mm-hmm. the in staying in the hotels?
Well, it's funny because it's now proprietary information about our guest visitation.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say hundreds of thousands of
okay.
guests every winter come out. There are also, if you read in Time Magazine this week, 300,000 Epic Pass holders in all 50 states and 78 countries who suddenly got this gift in May that they can ski as part of their pass at Canyon. So we expect a surge in visitation. Mm. It's incumbent upon us to continue to get our message across that we welcome you as guests. We also have some recommendations how we'd like you to behave while you're on the property specific to energy use and waste.
So does that 3% reduction still hold even when you're seeing a huge expansion of number of guests or facilities?
Absolutely. I think that...
So it's not like per person?
No.
Overall.
The goal is 3% per year, and we hope to increase that percentage in those goals annually. And so the other thing that we did with National Skiers Association was we installed a solar panel up on our Tombstone Patrol Shack. And speaking of educating, it was a really great opportunity for us to educate our guests, our on-mountain guests, when they're skiing. And if those of you that know the Tombstone Lift, it's kind of the halfway point to get to the southern end of the mountain, so everybody that passes through has to see this solar array. And we put up some signage to educate our guests on why we're doing it and why it's important to really capture the sun and produce our own power. It is on the grid, but it's a small way for us to do the right thing. And we're hoping in the future that we can put up more solar arrays, but it was another great opportunity for us to educate the guests, plus our employees. The patrollers really took ownership of that, the patrol shack and the solar panels. When it would snow, they wanted to make sure it was clean. So it was a fun way to educate them.
Sure. So one more thing about the 3%, yeah. that includes not just electricity, but heating too.
Absolutely.
So natural gas consumption. So efforts there?
Yes. Natural gas consumption, which we actually reduced our natural gas consumption 2011 to 2012 by over 20%.
Part of it may have
been because warmer temperatures, but certainly more when you're measuring, you certainly have more of an awareness of what you're using.
Sure.
And
what you're wasting.
And what you're wasting, yeah. Absolutely. So if our engineering staff knew how much we're using, they're more aware of what the temperatures are at, how much we're ordering. So it made a big difference.
Okay. That's
energy.
And that's
it is energy.
Efficiencies.
Right. Yes.
Identifying efficiencies, but first identifying the baseline.
It is.
What
you
are
have
we using
to,
today?
If you want to set a goal for where you're going to be, you have to realize where you are today, which is really important.
Okay. I got a question. I'm sorry. I got a
yes,
question from
go for
a
it.
Listener in Salt Lake City
yes.
who wants to know what you guys are doing in the area of transportation,
mm-hmm.
fuel use.
So we are part of the Summit County transportation system. We have been since we were Canyons Resort in 1997, a big participant of that. So we encourage our guests and our staff, which we also have busing from Salt Lake City mm-hmm. for our employees, which is great. We encourage our guests to take public transportation. We encourage our employees to take public transportation. We have carpool days. We just recently had one when we showed Chasing Ice, which is great. It's a 3+ VIP. They can have, if they have four or more people in their car, they can have VIP front row parking. So we hope to have more carpool days in the future to encourage people to ride with their friends.
Good.
So are you guys active with the PCSLC Connect bus? Is that an option for your employees?
Yes. Our human resources department has done a great job in providing busing opportunities for our employees through that program.
Great.
And subsidizing the cost of riding the bus. and encouraging our employees to take it.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, if you just joined us, you're listening to This Green Earth, and we're speaking with Dana Edwards, Environmental Manager at Canyons, and Steve Pastorino, Director of Public Relations at Canyons. And we're talking all about sustainability, the sustainability program that's going on there.
Yeah. And so, you know, we mentioned in the beginning of the show, we've got some updates on news items about composting and recycling and plastic bags. Let's talk about your waste stream. Have you been able to reduce that, and are you monitoring that as well?
Yes. So one of the more shocking numbers, the short answer.
Yeah.
One of the more shocking numbers that we got out of the climate challenge was our amount of waste. And I knew it was going to be big, and I won't say the number, but it was big. But having a big number provided a great opportunity for us to reduce the amounts. We've reduced our waste stream from what was going to trash to the landfill is now going to recycling by about 50%. And that was through truly on-the-ground initiatives with educating every single staff member on what they can do with their trash, starting from what they're buying to where they're disposing of it.
Right.
And that includes educating our lift operators, our housekeepers, our accounting departments.
Purchasing departments,
what we're purchasing, why we're purchasing, and do we need to purchase it. It was a full-on war against our waste stream. Now, being on mountain, it's tough to move our trash, but we had to figure out the systems and how we were going to move it and how we were going to recycle it. So we've been very successful.
Everyone loves our Spring Groove concerts, our summer concerts for that matter, but we have been seeing statistics after every concert for the last year and a half now about how much recycling is collected. And it's not through a magic bullet. It's by employees walking around reminding people to use recycling bins. But thousands of pounds of recycling are coming out of, you know, pond skimming day that used to go to the landfill. And it's clearly evident, it's dramatic, it's meaningful. There's recycling in all of our food and beverage outlets all over the mountain now. When I travel and my hotel room doesn't have a recycling bin now, I get angry. I'm like, this is so simple to have a little, you know, bin for my, you know, aluminum can or my pizza box or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And that we've been able to initiate that all over the resort. Is a dramatic testament to how hard Dana and the team have worked.
So, Steve, I want to ask you, in your role as public relations director, do you find that people on mountain really want to hear these messages about sustainability, whether it be, you know, recycling or energy use, or are they just really not interested in it and they just are looking for the best powder?
I was talking to a gentleman from, I think, California the other day, and he was remarking about how clean Utah is and how clean Park City is and how clean Salt Lake is. And I think when you're on our mountain, you don't want to see a piece of trash. And you don't at Canyons. And, you know, all credit given at the resorts here in Park City, we're incredibly attentive stewards of our environment. And I would, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding. And you see people using the recycling bins and separating their trash after their lunch at Red Pine Lodge and such. And I think it definitely resonates amongst our guests. Is it the first thing they want to hear about? No, absolutely. But are they willing participants in this effort? Absolutely.
Sure. I think generally there's an attitude now from a lot of visitors that they expect recycling containers in their room and the opportunity to not have their sheets laundered every 12 hours and, you know, and save on water. And they start to expect that. And that's part of the image that, you know, that we present, that you guys present at the resort and that this town tries to.
This community has worked so hard to earn the Outside Magazine, you know, best town ever designation that we got a week or two. But you can't fake this stuff. Either you have an amazing mountain town, an amazing resort, and a truly caring population that really looks out for guests, or you don't. And I think, as I said, the proof is in the pudding.
And right. One other thing, I'd like to go back and reiterate, Dana, that you're making efforts to not just increase the amount of recycling and manage the waste that goes off the property, but managing the, let's call it, the potential waste that comes right. on the property through
right.
the purchase of raw, you know, all your raw materials, again, whether it's dry goods or food mm-hmm. or other materials. That's part of a waste stream too.
It really is. It's really looking at what you're purchasing and if you really do need to purchase it, because that will go into your waste stream. So smart purchasing is really something that our procurement team is really tried to focus on in the last year, if not prior.
Right. Yeah.
And that's an example where being part of Vail Resorts and 10 American Resorts brings massive leverage and professionalism. We attended a procurement presentation from Vail Resorts, and I think they've saved $35 million in purchasing over the last 7 years, and they're going to bring those savings both in cost but also in scale mm-hmm. to Canyons.
So along the same lines with the waste stream, are
yes.
you guys composting?
Yes. I'm glad you asked. So we had been diverting a portion of our food waste in years past to a farm. Our Tombstone Grill, which if those of you have skied there, it's this little outdoor fun grill at the bottom of Tombstone Lift. And we had a goal of having a zero waste site. And our manager there has been great because he has a pig farm. So he was taking the food waste to his farm. And mm-hmm. so that was where we really started with not necessarily composting, mm-hmm. but having a zero waste site. This past year, our adventure camp, the kids really wanted to learn about composting. So we put in a small compost area for the kids, started there. It's been successful. And then we moved to the restaurants. Our dining team, our food and beverage executive chefs have been really the leaders at our resort with setting up the composting at the restaurants. And so we have composting at Red Pine Lodge up on the mountain, and we have composting in our banquets and the farm restaurant and Red Tail Grill. So it's a pilot program, certainly, and that's where you have to start. You have to start somewhere. So it's been really successful. So we hope to grow it to our other on-mountain restaurants. So we're excited about the composting programs.
Do you expect your costs when you're trying to dispose of your waste responsibly, do you expect your cost to increase or decrease? Is it more expensive for you to compost the food, or is it saving you because you're not sending so much to the landfill?
I think that for the on-mountain restaurants, it will certainly reduce the cost because the amount of time with labor, fuel, cat time to haul the trash and recycle like up and down the mountain is quite expensive. So we'll reduce the cost there. Inherently, I think that it will reduce our trash hauling costs. You know, we may pay because we'll have to pay for composting services may increase a little bit, but I think overall it's probably going to reduce our trash hauling costs, which will be great. That's
yeah.
a win-win.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got another question from a listener in Salt Lake City. Wants to know if you guys are doing anything in the area of solar power, any on-site solar?
We are. So last year we installed a small array up on Tombstone, like we spoke prior. It was our first go at solar really on mountain. We have a couple, you know, smaller sites with solar panels, but that was probably the biggest public one.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be installing more solar panels in the future. We want to really focus on our conservation first,
sure,
and behaviors first, and then invest some money into solar panels. So, but let's first start with how can we change our employees' behaviors and our guest behaviors.
Well, if you're, I think you said your biggest impact carbon footprint is in the area of waste management.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you tackle first.
Yes,
resorts. Let's not get ourselves. Resorts are very energy intensive
mm-hmm.
places.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's electricity, natural gas, fuel costs. And so you'll never be able to power the place with solar panels. There's not enough. You would have to put panels on slopes themselves and replace the slopes with panels in
yes,
order to do that.
It'd be very bright.
But you guys have an opportunity to educate. You're always
yes.
opportunities to educate what you do and quite frankly showcase it and profile it.
Absolutely, and that goes to running our our snowmaking systems when we need to work on them during the off season. Make sure we test them during off peak periods. We don't need mm-hmm. to run the snowmaking system in June to test it in the middle of the day. It's just being smart on when you operate the systems. We'll start there.
Great. So being, you know, somebody that works in land management yes. and water quality and those kinds of things, I have to ask, you know, about the environmental impact on the ground. What does canyons do to try to minimize runoff or sediment in streams, water quality, things like that?
We have a really great trails and grooming team led by John Neuhauser. He's been in town forever, but he is very aware of what his equipment is doing, where they're doing it the right way, best management practices. I'm out there as well, making sure that we're not putting sediment in the stream. We're very sensitive to how we impact our streams. And construction can be impactful, but we need to be doing it in the most responsible way. So making sure that we're testing the water or going on doing a site visit to all of the watersheds, and that includes Red Pine Creek, White Pine Creek, East Canyon. So just making sure that we have our best management practices in place, whether it's reseeding, making sure that if we do work, putting it back to what better than what it was prior. So to answer your question?
Yeah.
Do you have a few more minutes? We need to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. If you hold on, we appreciate it. We've got a few more questions. Let's take a break for some underwriters. You're listening to This Green Earth, and we'll be back right after these words. Stay tuned.
This is Ann from Park City Nursery and the Park City Tree Ranch. We're proud to have helped KPCW grow and flourish since 1983. Park City Nursery and the Tree Ranch have a variety of products to help your yard and garden do the same. Flowers, seeds, shrubs and trees, water-wise sprinklers, consulting and landscaping. We know what grows at parkcitynursery.com.
Hi, this is Gordon Raymond at Republic Services, a proud sponsor of KPCW. Gray is for garbage. Those four words will help you remember the current waste and recycling program. Your blue or brown bin is for recyclables. Gray is for garbage. AlliedWasteUtah.com/Summit County.
Hi, this is Steve Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, a proud supporter of KPCW. With more than 100 sales associates and 14 gallery or ski-in offices in Park City, Prudential Utah can help you with your residential or commercial real estate needs. More information at pru-utah.com or with the Prudential Utah mobile search app.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and the concepts of sustainability with an emphasis on sustainability, because we're speaking with Dana Edwards and Steve Pastorino from Canyons about what they're doing there with respect to sustainability programs and projects. Hey, you know what? We're getting some listenership now from down in the valley.
It turns out people are listening to the show, nice. Even in all the way in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and that's why we had held you. We got some more questions. One person wants to know: have you performed a formal carbon footprint assessment, and do you have a sustainability plan associated with that?
Yes. Okay. So part of the climate challenge, that was a great opportunity for us to do a complete study on our carbon footprint. And again, we knew it was going to be big. We included all of our lodging properties, which some resorts don't, but we felt it was important to include everything that we could have at least a little bit of an impact on. So it was big.
Sure.
I don't know if I want to say the number, but we're reducing it. But we did do a complete carbon footprint, which I think is important for companies, municipalities, resorts to do. The second part of the question was, do we have a plan? So yes, we created a plan for the canyons. We had a framework prior to doing the study, but completing the study really gave us some hard data to build some goals from. And you can find some of that framework on the Canyon's website on the environmental link. So we do have a plan in place.
Okay. So in addition to reducing power consumption by 3%, there may be goals to reduce water consumption, mm-hmm. to reduce waste streams mm-hmm. and things. That's where everything is quantified.
Yes.
In that sustainability plan. And then you kind of follow those goals. You maybe have a schedule, milestones that you want to meet X percentage by
Absolutely.
This time. Okay. Yeah. That's what a sustainability plan involves.
And as Dana said, we have an environmental tab on the Canyons Resort website that talks about everything that we've done to date. There's a website also, VailResortsEcho.com, VailResortsEcho.com, which talks about our parent company and their initiatives. And while we haven't formally rolled out Echo in this community yet, this will happen in time as we get fully integrated into the company. And again, you will see that, you know, we fundamentally think that one of the most powerful tools we have is 2,000 employees and people that live and work and care about this community. And you'll see that reflected on that website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you mentioned here the carbon footprint for the canyons or for canyons, excuse me. Is this something the other local resorts have done? And is there any talk about collaborating in this? I know it's probably mm-hmm. scary to, you know, mm-hmm. compare your stats, but is that something that's happening in town?
Yes. The fun thing about being an environmental manager is that we get to work with all the other resorts, and it's a fun thing to talk about. The other resorts have, and I work with Brent Giles quite a bit. We collaborate and right. share info, and you know he's an expert.
And
so
Brent
I
is with PCMR. Yeah,
Park PCMR, City Mountain, thank you.
Okay.
so I love to pick his brain, and he lives down the street from me, which is really
that's
nice.
That's handy.
Yes. So we don't necessarily share hard data, but we share our successes. We share our challenges.
Sure.
What can I do better? What can he do better? Same with Deer Valley. We share information. We're competitors, but we're also in the resort family. And it's important for us to share some of these things with each other because we are all in the same community. We affect the same people. So why not share some of these ideas with each other?
Exactly. Okay. Well, we got to wrap up. Steve Pastorino, Director of Public Relations for Canyons, and Dana Edwards, Environmental Manager for Canyons. Thank you so much to take the time to come on and chat with Nell and I.
It's a pleasure. We hope you'll have us back.
Thank you.
We will. We want to see how that 3% is going.
Absolutely.
That's right.
All right.
Next year we'll be asking for numbers.
Exactly. More numbers.
Thank you guys for coming on this morning.
All right. Let's take another quick break for some underwriters. And when we come back, we'll start to get into some of our news items and calendar events. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Join KBCW every Sunday morning at 9 for The Splendid Table, sponsored by River Horse on Main. Join us for The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Head into summer with us as we explore health, nutrition, and lifestyle with the experts.
From going gluten-free to finding your balance.
From bike position to relationship alignment.
From the educational journey to navigating wellness.
That's Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on The Mountain Life, only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Brought to you by Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Stein Erickson Lodge and Spa, Park City Clinic, and Grand Valley Bank.
This is Tom Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, and we're happy to support KPCW. Prudential Utah has been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976. Our agents know the community and the local market. More information can be found online at prud-utah.com or at one of our 14 offices throughout Park City.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. She's Nell Larson. I'm
Hello.
Chris Cherniak. And great conversation with those guys. Really appreciate, you know, they're touching on as many different areas as possible.
That's right. And it's nice to hear, you know, that there is, it seems like there's a little bit more momentum in the environmental and sustainability field.
And that,
field.
Too.
You know, with Vail being the parent company. It seems like a more of a priority for them, so it's good to see that happening.
All right, and so and you can go online and learn more about what they're doing.
That's right, and we've posted the link they mentioned on our Facebook page, so you can just head to the Facebook page, KPCW Green Earth, check out their website, like us if you like us, and you know, we'll keep you up to date on what we've got going on the show.
All right, let's start to. Get to some of these news items.
That's right.
That we talked about.
We're going to have to go at mock speed.
Yeah. The first one is about invasive species. And last week we interviewed Dan Simberloff, professor. Oh, boy. I'm trying to remember where. Professor. Sorry.
Oh,
Dan.
Don't look at me. I don't remember.
Author of a new
author,
book.
Author, professor.
Invasive Species, What You Need to Know. Oh, University of Tennessee.
Okay.
Professor. And as a follow-up to that, I saw an article in a paper, one of the New Jersey papers this week.
New Jersey that. Papers.
Yeah, why would
Chris's
I read?
Chris's roots.
Why would I read anything else? all of truth comes out of New Jersey. And including the fact that there's more Asian tiger mosquitoes showing up in New Jersey.
I don't like the name of these mosquitoes.
No. Anything that has three names.
Yeah. Tiger.
Tiger and Asian.
Menacing.
That's a problem. So, these mosquitoes are much larger than your normal mosquito, and they're pretty aggressive, and they take to urban settings, actually, more than, say, rural settings. They like to live in little puddles of water, you know,
okay.
Tires full of water or little puddles in there. Anyway, they're showing up in greater numbers in New Jersey. They carry 30 different types of viruses, including dengue fever.
Wow, that's one we haven't really had to worry about.
Yeah, Dan mentioned dengue fever.
Yeah.
And although there's been no additional cases of dengue fever going on, but the Asian tiger mosquito. And they suggest that the reason being is that they've had some warmer winters and earlier springs and later falls. And so the conditions are set for these types of mosquitoes to populate and move farther north. They first came into the states, like most invasives, from the south, but they're slowly making their way north and they're showing up a little more. So that's one example of invasive species showing up
in our daily lives, sort of in and around the cities.
Yes.
But then there's also a piece, I think, from High Country News where they were discussing potential sort of gaining notoriety and attention for invasive species and also maybe helping to eradicate them by eating them, by cooking with them, eating them.
And there's some weeds.
That's right.
That you can eat.
We have one locally, like garlic mustard. So garlic mustard, we've heard you can make pesto out of. I'm always a little wary of selling these things as great ingredients, because then what if people just want to keep them around? What if they don't want to get rid of them?
Oh, is that?
But, you know, you never know.
So this tastes good, so
right.
I'll start
so
growing
you know what?
It.
Maybe I'm not so worried about getting rid of
the
garlic.
That's a good
mustard.
Point. I didn't think about that. But here's one, cheatgrass beer.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Apparently there is a place that brews an amber lager called the Great Basin Cheatgrass Beer. So maybe we need someone to brew, I don't know, Dyerswood beer or something like that, or Canadian thistle beer. Here's another one. This one is really interesting. Wild boar. There are so many wild boar and feral pigs in this country that this is a great source of food, meat,
sure.
if you're a meat eater. There's over 2 million alone in Texas, and there's about a million of them, I read, in Florida.
Wow.
And there's no close season on wild boar or feral pigs. You know,
probably because of the heavy impacts that they have
and
on
so
many other species.
You can hunt wild boar all year round in Florida, and I'm assuming in Texas. But more and more restaurants are looking to serve these. I mean, it's a, you know, it's not a pretty animal, and it's not an image, but apparently the meat is pretty good.
There you go.
Protein packed. So wild boar. So these are examples of some invasive species that we have. So there's opportunities to eat them, and lionfish too in Florida. The scourge of Florida, you can eat lionfish.
The scourge.
Okay. So
we have a couple more news items, but we also have a guest here in the studio, Heather Jean DeFord, who will be in here in just a minute to talk about an upcoming film. But I think we should finish up our news.
Yeah, listen, because the interesting one, EPA announces limits on the applications of neonicotinoids. Now, these are pesticides that, among other things, kills bees and other pollinators. The EPA just announced some regulations limiting their use of these new different types of neonicotinoids or neonics. And that's good. That's good news.
That is a good thing. We've spoken with a couple of experts on this, and they kind of point to those as one of the primary causes of some of these bee die-offs.
Right. And so now here's how the application rule goes. If the bees are out foraging, you can't apply this pesticide. And in fact, you can't apply the pesticide while the flowers of any fruits or plants that the bees are foraging are still in bloom. You can't apply the pesticide until after the petals fall off, which is probably going to be most likely the end of the season.
Right.
So that's good.
It's a step in the right direction.
Okay. But there are some exceptions. And it's interesting that there are some exceptions to for instance – this is how the directions read now. For crops under contracted pollination services, meaning that you are growing apples and you hire a beekeeper to come onto your land and bring their hives and set up pollination services, they have to follow those. They can't apply the pesticides while the bees are out doing their business.
So at least they don't get applied directly to the animal, to the insect itself.
Unless the landowner or the owner of the apple orchard says, oh, I'm applying these neonicotinoids and I'm giving you 48 hours notice.
Oh, boy.
To basically get your bees and get out of here. Okay, so you can still apply these neonicotinoids as long as you provide enough warning, in this case, 48 hours. Here's another one.
Okay.
Here's another one. If it's a food crop that's not has an active hive on it, let's say there are fruits or flowers that don't require honeybee pollination per se directly. Let's say like flowers and nurseries don't necessarily bring in they're natural pollinators. They have to follow the same rules. They can't apply neonicotinoids unless they do it after sunset.
Okay, I'm
not kidding you. The application is made after sunset. So once the sun sets, you can apply your neonicotinoids. And you've explained this to me now. The application is made to the site when temperatures are below 55 degrees. Now, how do you mean?
What exactly does that mean? Average or night?
Average
is that the low?
Is it
the you just can't do it?
Is it daytime
anytime
high?
It's directly under that temperature?
Or does it just have to fall 55 and boom, you're out there with your crop duster flying around?
Right. So it seems like these regulations are put into place to prevent these chemicals from being applied directly on the insect themselves. But obviously when the bees come out the next morning or the next day when the temperature rises or the sun comes up, they'll still be impacted by them because the chemicals are on the plants.
Okay. So it's a good start.
It's a good start.
It's kind of a sideways effort.
Right.
Because they still use it given certain things. Okay.
All right. So now we've got
a couple of news items, but let's get to our guest.
Yeah. So here in the studio with us, we have Heather Jean DeFord, and she's here to talk about a group in town that's putting on a film screening this weekend. So why don't you start by telling us about the name of your group and the film?
Sure. I'm with the Pleiades Foundation, and we are bringing a film to town. The film is called For the Next Seven Generations. It is a story about 13 international indigenous grandmothers from all over the world. And it's kind of like watching a National Geographic and seeing how these women pray. It took some doing to get some of these elders to agree to be filmed because their ceremonies are, you know, quite different than the norm, and they didn't want to, you know, offend anyone. But it's a beautiful, beautiful story, and quite frankly, I'm so glad that the film was made because I've been in these council meetings with these grandmothers, and it's such a blessing that they're sharing their sacred information before they pass.
And tell us about what this council is with these 13 grandmothers.
Well, these women have gotten together every 6 months since 2004, and they've met in each grandmother's home place, homeland. So the grandmothers have hosted a council meeting, which they invite the public to, and they discuss local issues. So people who might have an issue with education or conservation issues with water. Water's been a big topic, and that's actually what we're going to be talking a lot about this Saturday. These councilwomen it's a networking opportunity for local people and global organizations to learn about what is going on. And then beyond that, it's a way for people just to learn about different cultures and how they are trying to help heal the planet.
It's so interesting that it's 13 grandmothers. What's the significance of that, being women, being a grandmother?
Well, Grandmother Mona Palak is a guest speaker, and she's will definitely be able to speak more to that than I will. But as far as I understand, there's been lots of prophecies that women will find their way into more leadership roles during this time. There's been visions and prophecies that have been saying this in all different cultures, Native American, Nepalese, Indian. These women are from all over the world, and each one of them have a story about, right, you know, now there's a shift for women to have more of a significant role.
And so you mentioned that at the screening, this coming up, you'll be focusing on water.
Right. Grandmother Mona Palaka has been on various UN committees for water and indigenous rights. And water is a big topic for lots of people. And she's just very passionate about it. She's has a CEO and founder of various organizations. So she just wants to talk about how we can protect our natural sacred resource.
And water is an issue that we talk about all the time on
sure.
the show and
sure.
in the West and
right.
the arid Southwest. And so it sounds like you're also going to have a speaker talking about some of
right.
those issues.
When we learned that Grandma Mona wanted to talk about water, we looked around for some local water quality specialists, and Mike Powell has agreed. Formerly, we were going to have Nancy Mesner. She couldn't make it, considering that we had a more of a local person, because Mike works in the Weber watershed. So he'll be able to give us information on the current issues going on in our local water resource and solutions, how we can protect the water. And that's one of the things I'm mostly excited about, building community and awareness
Fantastic.
Around water.
Great.
So again, when is the film?
Sure. It is this Saturday, August 24th at 6:30 p.m. at the shop. And you can buy your tickets online at brownbagtickets.com. You'll just have to search for the film name called For the Next Seven Generations. You can also buy your tickets at the door. It's $15 at the door. And it should be a wonderful evening.
And it's at the shop yoga studio.
It is at the shop yoga studio. Thank you.
Is there a website, too, that people can go to learn more about the grandmothers?
Sure. There is a website. The website for the Grandmothers Council is just that, grandmotherscouncil.org. So just as it sounds, mm-hmm. it's spelled grandmotherscouncil.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perfect. Well, we'll get all of that information up on our Facebook page so listeners
Great.
Can reference it there.
Thank you very much for having
yeah,
me here.
Yeah, thanks. We'll see you there. Let's take a quick underwriter break. When we come back, we've got a couple more news items to hit and some calendar events, and we'll start to wrap up. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Gordon Raymond with Republic Services, your recycling and garbage services provider and a proud supporter of KPCW. Recycling pickup in Summit County is now every other week. Remember, recycling materials go in your larger blue or brown bin. Gray is for garbage. AlliedWasteUtah.com/Summit County.
Since 1983, we've been trying to say something clever in support of our favorite radio station. This is Anne from Park City Nursery and the Park City Tree Ranch, complimenting KPCW for making interesting radio under strict regulations. We try to do the same given our short growing season, various microclimates and soils. We know what grows at parkcitynursery.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. We got a couple more news items I want to get in. And then we'll wrap up. The one about the city of Durango, they just recently approved a 10-cent fee on disposable bags, be they paper or plastic, right? And
10 cents, not much, but maybe enough to make you think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you go in and you get your fill four bags, plastic bags of food, and that's $100.
Double bags, so that's 8 bags.
And that'll cost you 40 cents. Depending on where you're shopping. So this is a program that was launched in the four largest grocery stores in Durango. Not every store, but the four largest grocery stores in this town. Now, the revenue of that 10-cent fee on either the paper or the plastic bags gets split between the collecting business, the grocery store, and the municipality. So the business gets a nickel and the municipality gets a nickel. But that nickel that goes to the municipality can only be spent to pay for implementation of the program and provide education on why disposable bags are not good. So that's how one town is handling.
I like that the business gets a,
sure,
they get 5 cents
a nickel
out of the deal.
And I'm sure if they go through 1,000 bags a day, let's say, that's 50
right.
bucks they make.
Right. For some stores, it's going to be considerably more than that. Some of the big grocery stores and things along those lines.
So that's how one town is handling reusable non-reusable bags. Use a reusable bag and save a dime per bag.
Perfect. Savings
Got it.
Plan.
Okay. Composting. Sorry, now you only have a minute.
You know, I almost want to save this for a few weeks because I have lots of good information on this. We just learned that the resorts here in Park City, Canyons included, who's just on air, have started composting, and they're working with a local business, and we're going to be talking with that business owner in 2 weeks about his business model and how this works and what the logistics are. And just like Dana said, this is kind of a pilot program, but you have to start somewhere. And
sure.
So, in this research about composting, I found a lot of places did start with, restaurant composting being mandatory. Then you move on to residential. Then you expand and slowly, you include everybody under that umbrella.
Right.
So we'll have a talk with these people about how they do large-scale composting. This is a little bit, bigger and better than our the composting that we do at home,
okay.
and has some different processes.
Large scale, okay.
Yeah, and we'll they've been working with Park City Municipal, the city, on getting this going. So
We'll have to save it
we'll
for another
time. We'll follow up on
that.
That's right. 2 weeks.
Wrap up. One more quick underwriter, and we'll be back to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com. Park City Nursery. For 30 years, we know what grows. ParkCityNursery.com. VaultHomeLoans.com. Purchase and refinance mortgages. Conventional FHA and VA, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Time to wrap up on This Green Earth. Another show.
Another show has
put
flown
away.
By.
Yes. Hey, and let's thank our underwriters for whom this show would not be possible without. They include Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough.
Republic Services.
Habitat for Humanity's Restore.
Rocky Mountain Power.
San Francisco Design.
And as always, Prudential Utah Real Estate.
You can join us. Post your thoughts and ideas on our Facebook page, KPCW, This Green Earth. And thanks again to our guests, Dana Edwards and Steve Pastorino from the Canyons. That's about it,
and,
no?
And that's, yeah, that's about it. We'll post all of the information from today's show on the Facebook page if you want to follow up there on the film screening or some of the Canyon's efforts, or if you want to get involved and volunteer.
And we'll have a replay of the show, of course, online at kpcw.org. So thanks again for joining us on This Green Earth. Remember, this is KPCW 91.9 Park City, Utah, only in Park City. Only on KPCW.